The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once-a-week, only-on-Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Investors' Biggest Mistakes Number 3, Not Allowing REI to Run Your Life. But before we get started, I just want to again touch base with you guys and see how you are doing. Boy, I'll tell you, this has been one crazy season here. Just, you know, from a personal standpoint, I had mentioned my wife was in a quarantine, my son too. They are both now off quarantine. My wife is at back working. She's, gearing up, and she's back working with the same lady that was positive, and now it looks like she's passed her quarantine period. So that's great. And also my son is working, he's back to work too. So things are getting back to normal. I think there are going to be some pretty quick responses and turnarounds the way it looks like right now. I would recommend to those of you that have been hit hard by the virus and the repercussions thereof, that you contact those that can help out. I think that some of the great programs that are set up through the SBA and through banks and so forth are helping out people left and right. And there are a lot of different options that you can go with. I don't think I'm really going to go into all of the different loans out there. If you haven't heard that information already, I'm sure there's better folks out there giving a lot more detailed information. But I'm looking forward to this turnaround and getting things back to normal. I don't know how long that's going to take, as we are all wondering right now. And they're talking about a second wave and all kinds of stuff. And then you've got all the conspiracy stuff going on out there, 5G, Bill Gates, and all the related stuff there, which, that can keep you really busy too. If you're stuck at home, just start doing those searches, okay? Wow. I mean, I was really bored the other day, and I'm looking up, what's this 5G thing? Okay, a lot of people are saying they want to keep us indoors so they can install 5G all over the country. Okay, kind of going, that's crazy. And then I see Congress passes this bill, okay? And it's like this bill to accelerate the installation of 5G. Okay. And then you can look up all the health issues with 5G and all the scientists and all stuff. You know, I'm just kind of, you know, this is what happens sometimes when you're home and you've been home way too long. You know, started looking at some of this stuff. And then I kind of go, okay, well, what's the deal with Bill Gates? He's like, you know, pushing these, you know, this vaccine and all this stuff, and going, you know, why is Bill Gates doing that? And then, you know, you kind of look and you see he's like the number one contributor to the World Health Organization, to CDC. Okay, so now I'm putting on my aluminum hat here, and I'm like getting full on conspiracy. Okay, and looking at this, I go, okay, so but what does he got to do with 5G? And I see that the guy bought, like, yeah, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars worth of 5G stock recently. And I'm going, wait, this is too crazy. Anyway, so I had to get outside and walk the dog. Okay. And that's basically what I did. Walking the dog has been like, I really look forward to it. It used to be kind of a thing when he would start walking around going, oh no, and he wants to go for a walk. Now I go, that's great. Let's go. You know, anyway. I don't know why I'm rambling about this, but anyway, let's get into our topic. I like doing these things, sort of the investor's biggest mistakes, because you can learn from other people's mistakes. And that's one of the reasons I started this show, is because I make a lot of them, and I made a lot of them. And hopefully you've learned over the last, 3 years where this show's gone? 4 years? I don't know. It's been out there a long time. But nonetheless, I like to share those. But here is one that is a real one that a lot of people don't always talk about. And that is allowing, this big mistake here is allowing your real estate business to ruin your, not to ruin it. Actually, it's funny. I said run your life here, but it can ruin your life too. A lot of us old dogs here are jumping in this, and it's like a new thing for us. Some people are just doing it real casually, and it's, you know, just fine, a couple of properties, no big deal. Some of us, you know, get a little obsessive. Some of us even have podcasts, okay? All right, so there's those folks too. But nonetheless, this is a good topic here. You know, we get wrapped up in sort of the thrill of real estate investing. You know, once you get started buying, selling, cashing those checks, I remember being in Haiti when I got my first rental checks, you know, and I'm going, yeah, this is great. I'm in Haiti and I'm making money in the States and I don't even have to be there. This is cool. Well, it can be a little all-encompassing, you know. We have our cell phones and, you know, we people are ringing us at all hours of the day, you know, we're getting text, you know, and we're always looking for that next big deal, right? I'll tell you, you know, looking for 100+ units has been like obsession with me since I, you know, started, you know, this goal of mine getting 1,000 units in 6 years. So, you know, we're taking calls, we're doing, you know, we get calls from contractors, suppliers, all hours, somehow, especially on weekends, you know, when I want to spend time with my family. We allow tenants to have us at our beck and call sometimes. Now, granted, I have property managers, but sometimes when I've had ineffective property managers, I've just circumvented that process and, like an idiot, okay, opened it up so they could contact me directly. That is like the biggest violation that we should have. We're supposed to be these anonymous LLCs that own these buildings. So anyway, that's another mistake we'll go over later. Anyway, so in this thing where you are just involved way too much and you're getting these calls, all hours, texts, and so forth, before we know it, our lives are consumed with nothing else. You know, some of the folks listening, you know, you've left your job, okay, to do this so that we're not, you know, working for the man, right? To be our own boss. And now we've come to realize that we're working for a much worse boss, a tyrant. And that tyrant is you. Yes, it's us. So how does this happen? It happens because we don't effectively plan our businesses. I talked about planning on this show a million times, talking about the importance of putting a strategic plan together. And that's really, really important. One of the benefits you will achieve from planning is you'll be able to create systems and checklists to control your real estate investing business. Once these systems and checklists are in place, you will know what needs to be done in any situation. You will look at the checklist daily to review what has been accomplished and what still needs to be done. And you're keeping it focused. You're not just all over the place like you can get when you're managing properties and you are looking for new properties and you are, you know, talking to investors and you are, you know, talking to other real estate folks. And I mean, the list goes on and on. Once you have good systems in place, you know what needs to be done in any situation. That's what's key. You should have checklists for every aspect of your business. And I think I've shared this with you guys that you should create what I call an operations manual, which is different than the strategic plan, but the operations manual really talks about how you do your business. You know, how do you get tenants? How do you screen tenants? All the details, the minute details, so that, you know, think of this like you're creating a franchise. This is eventually going to be a franchise. You're going to hand somebody that manual and they're going to buy this business from you and you're going to say, this is how to do it. You get this big fat check and all this stuff and then you just kind of go on. But anyway, that's how you almost have to think of this, is once you get it setup, you can hand that manual. Maybe it's to a son or a daughter who might take over this business one day. But you want to have everything you do controlled and in a system. Some of the key checklists you want to have: property evaluation, how to buy right, how to do market analysis, property analysis. All of that should be in that property evaluation a checklist. Property inspections, you know, how to estimate repairs and formula worksheets, room by room analysis. You know, what do you do in a property inspection? Contractor management, you know, how to collect bids and what to say in the contracts and what are the agreements. You should have all that stuff all pre-done, you know, in generic form in this operations manual. Renovation management. Okay, we do a lot of that, either where we do a value add type buy, or whether we're just doing turnarounds in apartments, we're doing stuff and it's affecting cash flow and required activities, scheduling, contractor management, all these things. You know, you want to have good people in place so that when you have a turnaround, for example, you can turn that place around in a couple of days. You know, you've got painters and floor people already, or carpet people, and you, boom, you just move on it. Tenant management, it's really key. And that's where you can get a lot of hang up, especially if your property manager is not bringing you quality tenants. You need to have a process that you can hand to them and you say, this is how I want you guys to do this. And if they can't, then you get a new property manager. But you want, the tenants are your key to success. You know, you really don't start making money until that person renews their first lease. That's what I've found. The first year, you know, things are tenuous. You really don't necessarily make money. It's kind of a break-even deal. But once you get going and you've got long-term tenants, oh man, that's like the icing on the cake for real estate investors. But in that tenant management checklist or operations, you've got application processes, move-in processes, leases, and contracts. Now, these are just a few of the many checklists and systems. You'll have your own. How do you record your information into your accounting software if you use QuickBooks or something like that, or Quicken? How do you record those invoices? How do you monitor all of your expenses? So at the end of the year, all you have to do is print out one report or maybe a couple of reports and hand them to your CPA and you're done. You don't have to scramble around trying to find receipts and all kinds of stuff. Do I sound like I'm speaking from experience? Yes. Okay. So these are just a few of the systems that you'll need to create that to use on a day-to-day basis. Then you'll be running your business and your business will not be running you. I'd say one of the key benefits of having systems and checklists is that you can grow your business and hire people to work for you. So if you document everything you've done, now that's what's great about the plan itself, the strategic plan, is that you kind of know what works and what doesn't. And so you keep refining your business and you find new strategies for marketing. You find new strategies for operations and finding good tenants and screening tenants. Until you come up with this over the period of years, you've got these great workable ways that make your business successful, and that's what you're trying to do. But you can get this all into a booklet or a book that is the operations manual for your company. And in that, you've got this how to do each task that is associated with your business. And it's all a series of, you know, systems and checklists. And what you can do is you hand that to somebody that eventually, so you've been, let's say you're doing this, you've got thousands of, you know, units or maybe hundreds of units, and you want to have somebody just oversee this now and let them deal with the day-to-day with the property managers and the things that you are doing. And you just hand them this operation manual. And of course you're going to train them and you're going to work alongside them. But once they've got it going, you've got a salaried employee that you're paying that is basically doing everything you did. And you know, you're calling them from the south of France kind of saying, how are things going here? Hopefully you've got it. It's so systematized that you've got checks and balances also to check on this person to make sure they're doing the things that are set up in there as well. So you do have to, you know, keep in contact with the people that are going to be working for you, but you don't have to spend, just days and hours doing that. You can do, you know, the 4-hour work week thing, right? This is really the fastest way to grow your business, is just systematize it. Think of yourself as creating a franchise that you're going to hand off to somebody. A great book that you should read is Michael Gerber's book. I've been trying to get him on the show. He said he's going to come on. So hopefully that'll happen sometime during 2020. He's the author of The E-Myth. You know, that's a great book that'll teach you how to look at your business in its proper perspective. If you don't, you know, want to create all those systems and checklists yourself, find someone who already has a successful real estate investing business and find out what they are using. Now, sometimes when you hire a coach or you get into a training program where they've got a lot of resources, sometimes you can get that through those gurus or whoever it is that you signed up with. And there's sometimes there's great stuff. A lot of times there's good stuff. There's a few people that I think are especially viable and have some great materials. So the sooner you systematize, the sooner you will be free to make choices based on what you want to do instead of what your business needs you to do. That is it for today. I hope this was of value to you. Please note, everything we talked about will be in our show notes today on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled Investors' Biggest Mistakes, Number 3, Not Allowing REI to Run Your Life. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.